Thursday, May 9th, you're tuned into Big Screens and TV Streams live from the GrabForks Best Source Studios. I am Dale, joined, as always, alongside Mr. Victor. Welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys? It's so good to be back in the queue because right now is movie summer season, and that's when all the greatest movies alive, from the big to the small, are all coming at your way. So get your popcorn, your girlfriend and boyfriend and whoever else you got in your family and bring them on down to the old theater because we're going to give you an experience that are gonna blow your mind away.
Victor is stoked. You gave me a reason to use that popcorn sound effect. So.
Hell yeah. I'm excited because let's go. We got so much to talk about right now. It's gonna get nuts.
A lot of reviews. We're gonna be talking about some big news to kick off the show, but also joining me across is Mr. Producer Paul.
Of course.
Hell yeah.
There should be a lot of stuff that's going to be coming out here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for it.
So, hey, not only this show is open to everyone here, so we got the live chat going on Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube. We want to hear what you guys have to say. Any questions or comments, we'll react to them on the air here. Or if you leave them after the show, we'll catch them on next week or on our next show, which is live every other Thursday at 1 p.m. on all the GFBS channels where you can watch them on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, or on demand anytime, anywhere. Just search GFBS on your favorite social media or podcast apps, audio or video. So, yeah, we want to hear what you guys have to say. And, you know, Victor mentioned summer movie season at the theater. And I guess streaming is summer season everywhere, movies, TV shows. But the best place for summer movie season in the traditional and current sense is at the theater. And that's why we want to give a shout out to our friends at the River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Go ahead and make them your next dinner and a movie destination. They're both located in the River Mall in East Grand Forks. Now, you can either dine inside the movie memorabilia packed restaurant in the Shield, sit in one of those awesome director chairs at the bar, or take your meal to go to the movie you're attending. So if you want to bring a full course meal to the theater, you can do that as well. Some of this week's featured movies are Arthur the King, Kung Fu Panda 4, opening tonight, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Hell yeah.
The Fall Guy, Tarot, and Dragon Keeper. You can find the full listings online, rivercinema15.com. The River Cinema has luxury recliners and expanded concessions that now serve adult beverages, and it's family-owned and operated. And don't forget about the Tuesday $5 movie special all day long and the $5.50 senior matinee special on Wednesdays and Thursdays. So check them out, River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Okay, just a couple of quick news topics here to kick off the show like we do each and every show. Here's one sad note, unfortunately. I hate to, you know, like to pay our respects when Hollywood loses another one of their many stars from the many, many decades and over a century of cinema and film and TV shows. But actor Bernard Hill, best known for roles in Titanic, Best Picture winner, and also the Best Picture for the third of the Lord of the Rings movies. He has died at the age of 79. He played Captain Edward Smith in Titanic and King Theoden in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yep.
The original Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yes.
Those were two main roles. Do you guys recall him from those movies or any other of his prolific IMDb throughout the years?
I do. He, of course, played a very not nice king in Lord of the Rings. Sad to say, his character got what he deserved. Of course, they poured fire on this dude, and he was just running around like literally with his chicken with his head cut off, and he was just on fire, and he didn't survive that very, very well. So, but he was really good in Titanic. I loved him in Titanic, but I loved him more in Lord of the Rings just because he played that villainous role very, very well. So shout out to him, honestly. Yeah. And shout out to his family, you know, rest in peace, of course.
You sure that's right, King?
Yeah,
'cause I thought he was the blonde one.
No,
the one that got possessed by—
No, not that one. That this was when he got, so this was the king where, what was it? He betrayed, I forget, it's been a long time since I saw it, but I remember he betrayed one of his fellow brethren and got him to be like set on fire. Like literally, you'll see it in the—
There's
like,
so much betrayal going on in all the Lord of the Rings movies and just like all the politics behind it. I know a few different kings throughout the films. So,
but he was the most known just because like, they literally set him on fire.
I was glad I got a chance to rewatch the extended cuts of the Lord of the Rings.
You got the wrong guy. King Theoden, he was the one that got possessed by—
I got in my notes, Bernard Hill played King Theoden.
Yeah, you're thinking of the other king. This is the one that's King Theoden. I don't know if you can. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's King Theoden.
Yeah, so
that he was the one that was possessed, and they later got rid of his possession in the movie, right? It's kind of blurring together a little bit.
Yeah, the one that you're thinking of is, I'll have to look it up here. But no, King Theoden, he was the good king. He was the one that came in after Gandalf took the curse off of him. Yeah. So, yep. I know which one you're thinking of, but no, he's the blonde-haired one with the goatee and everything.
So easy to get so many kings mixed up. They throw so many at us. Any other, Victor, I know you've seen a ton of movies over the year. Paul, for you as well, any other roles you remember him as? It's been a long time since I've seen Titanic.
He played a lot of different characters in the BBC
network. I saw a lot of BBC credits to his name. Yeah,
he did a lot for the BBC over the years.
A lot of series for BBC?
A lot, actually. Yeah, it's kind of crazy like how much he did for the BBC over the years before he went to big budget movies. So it was crazy how much.
Good to see you got some good paydays from those big box office blockbusters.
He did, and I think it's crazy, like a lot of British actors, the funny thing is they start themselves off in British television and they do very well, but then when they are asked to like go to big budget movies, they do few here and there, but it's more where they do the big ones, like for Lord of the Rings or for Titanic or even for like James Cameron. A lot of British actors work for James Cameron, like relatively very well,
so. and deservedly so. He's definitely earned that calling card, right?
He did. I'm surprised they didn't ask him to rejoin the cast for the new Lord of the Rings series, but I think he had passed away already before they could ask him. So
one other news topic here. Quentin Tarantino, I don't know if you guys heard about this, his 10th film, the Movie Critic, has officially been canceled or put on indefinite hiatus. It was first announced in 2022, and it was supposed to be his 10th and final film. We all heard Tarantino say over the years he's always announced that he's only going to direct 10 movies, and this was going to be his final directed film. But just this past week, according to Off the Record Tips, the reason why this happened is because Tarantino simply wasn't satisfied with the end result of his work. He didn't think it was good enough. And so he said sources were saying the script underwent many rewrites before just eventually deciding to cancel it and then make a movie he wasn't 100% happy with. And this film was supposed to reunite him with Brad Pitt after Brad Pitt just did a bang-up job for him in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So,
well, he worked with him twice. So, yeah. I mean, it's absolutely. It's not like surprising that they would reteam after. You know,
but you know, with Quentin Tarantino, just to hear just working in with another actor, it has a big grander sense to it.
Well, he's collaborated with a lot. Yeah. Samuel Jackson and him.
Samuel Jackson work. A lot of DiCaprio work.
I mean, the only two, basically, besides Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Django. Yeah, I mean, he mostly deals with Samuel, but the funny thing is they've had a falling out a little.
Oh,
bit.
Did they? Oh, shoot.
Not the biggest falling out, but it's just for...
Just a little tit for tat, maybe?
Yeah, and it was only because of volume 2 of Kill Bill, so that's why, but otherwise,
Hey, at least this... You know, never say never. I know I was kind of looking more into it. Tarantino did scrap a movie in the past and actually ended up... The Hateful Eight. He officially canceled that because the script leaked and he was pissed.
Yeah.
But then people were, as many colleagues were like, no, this is great work. Believe in the work. And he decided to put it back on track and it released to just big critical success. I love that movie. Definitely. Damn. So who knows? Maybe this can get the green light again. Maybe just needs to get a few more tweaks, or who knows? Maybe even more grander, a whole new thing will happen for him down the line. But those are our news items to kick off the show. We're going to go ahead and jump into our first review. And Paul, this was interesting. I think I remember getting texts from you saying, you got to watch this. You got to watch this. And so it was kind of on my radar. I'm seeing the ads for it. We're talking about, you know, there have been two Sonic the Hedgehog movies, that live action movies based on, you know, the classic Sega mascot answer to Mario, and the third movie is actually coming out later this year. So I guess to help build the anticipation for it, on Paramount Plus they released an exclusive 6-episode miniseries with a character that debuted in Sonic the Hedgehog 2. We are talking about Knuckles. So there we go. Paul's got the poster out there. Knuckles, voiced by the man, the myth, the legend himself, Idris Elba, and voicing Knuckles like only he can. And there you go. He's giving Wade Whipple, the lead character of this series, supporting character in the first two Sonic movies. He's now the lead of this show. A nice big Harley ride there, and good old Wade Whipple is riding piggyback. But Wade Whipple, so affectionately played by I know I got it on here. Adam Pally. So yeah. That's who plays Wade Whipple. And yeah, so this, Paul, I know you're the one that clued me into this. Why don't you set us up? What is the premise for Knuckles?
Okay, so this movie is, or not movie, but series is very entertaining, and it's always nice to find something that I can watch with my kids. You know, so you got Wade Whipple, and so in the Sonic movies, I think that he was like a cop in like a really small town.
Yes, he was.
But this is totally a comedy. Mm-hmm. Idris Elba, he just kills it.
Yeah.
But so Wade Whipple, he is going to a bowling tournament to reunite and try to beat his dad.
That's right. Well, he has some unlucky bowling luck at the beginning of the first episode there.
Yeah, this goes in so many directions. It's just hilarious. And then you got the actor, he was in Men in Tights. I can't remember his name right
off. Which character is this one playing?
So it was, he plays his dad.
Oh,
and his dad is like got like this British accent, and he's like this big bowling superstar.
Yeah.
But and then, you know, you have the people from, I think it was like Gun, I think is what they called it, trying to, you know, track down Knuckles and get
G-U-N, a hold. G-U-N, the evil FBI placeholder squad.
Yeah. And so they're trying to get Knuckles, and, you know, and then so they're just going on this journey of trying to get to Reno to get to this bowling tournament. So
it's kind of like a nice little nod to the first film. The first Sonic movie was a road trip to get to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And so now they're trying to get to Reno, and you kind of have Sonic and Tails there in a nice little the first like what 5 minutes or so while things are just kind of everyday life for Knuckles. And but then, you know, Wade Whipple gets his quest. He wants to go to Reno, and Knuckles wants to tag along, and yeah, and the road trip shenanigans ensue right away.
Fair enough. The guy he was thinking of, he was the main character. He has also collaborated a lot with Mr. Guy Ritchie. His name is Cary Elwes.
Wade Whipple's dad?
Yes.
Yeah, and he has this very, very deliberately funny posh accent.
Yeah, he was in Princess Bride.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he nails it. He is such a fun, just someone you want to root against. But and you're like, no, he's playing his son like a fiddle. Don't fall for it, Wade. And that alliteration on that name, what a corny goofball name. Wade Whipple. Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, you have the big bowling tournament at the end, kind of going with the, what was the Woody Harrelson movie?
Kingpin?
Yeah, great movie.
Kind of spoof off of like Kingpin.
Well, you know, the great thing about this bowling tournament, it all builds up to the bowling tournament, the final episode. They all meet there. And the way it's played out, they bring, you know what they bring back for the bowling tournament? The coverage, the presentation that we haven't seen since Dodgeball.
Oh, yeah, what is it? Ocho?
Ocho. ESPN 8. Ocho. Yeah. The best sports network in all of sports. It only, it's such an underdog hit. It got such big cult status from that Dodgeball movie way back in 2004 that ESPN 2 once a year rebrands itself as ESPN 8 and dedicates a whole day's coverage to super niche sports like Dodgeball and like a tree log sawing and all kinds of crazy stuff.
It's funny because they're like, yeah, we're having this bowling tournament in Reno, the Las Vegas for losers.
Yes. Yeah. Man. Yeah. Those,
I mean,
those announcers had all kinds of great one-liners.
Did you get to, I think it was episode 4 where they put on the musical?
Yeah. I know you're like, Dale, check out episode 4. Why don't you clue people in? What are they in for?
So they basically, I mean, this could be like a musical that you could see, you know, even at like the Empire Arts Center. And they did such a good job with it with just the, I don't know the terms for that kind of stuff, but you know, the how they set up the scenes and everything to make it look like
cinematography, you know, maybe, or
well, to make it look like you're in like a Sonic the Hedgehog game, mm-hmm, with just props.
Oh, okay. Oh, practical effects.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was just stupid, funny, and entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or actual props on a stage play. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, they had him like looking like he was like running through the rings, like you do in the Sonic games and stuff.
And they had Wade Whipple trying to role play as Knuckles, so they gave him kind of like a big furry outfit as Knuckles, like a Halloween costume, kind of like you'd pick up at the old dollar store or something like that. That was a very fun diversion. That was a great episode. You got the GUN gun chasing them, the road trip shenanigans along the way. I am a big fan of, you know, Sonic has a chili dog. Paul, what did you think of Knuckles' choice of the only two foods he eats in his show?
Yeah, what was it, grapes? Yep. And I don't know what the other
one was. I'm guessing the other one probably paid for half of the show's budget in the form of Cool Ranch Doritos.
Okay. Which is a big
That's big a big get. They got money. They do the big paydays. But
And mind you, it's not as bad as Michael Bay when he did product placement in a lot of his movies for Xbox, Oreos, and of course Victoria's Secret. We're looking at you, Michael Bay.
Last episode, I guess I probably won't go too big into spoiler territory, but did you like how it all wrapped up, the family comedy? A little too predictable, or was it, no, I'm just enjoying this ride while I'm on it. Let's go for it.
I thought it was going to be a lot more serious than it was, but I couldn't stop watching it just because it was so entertaining. Yeah.
It reminded me the way they kind of do the bowling tournament. It brought back shades of the All Valley tournament in Cobra Kai. How they're taking this ESPN 8, just these knockoff announcers are taking it super seriously.
Oh, yeah, they're bringing in all the 80s music. Yeah. And
everyone's doing their big victory goes, oh, he's doing the guns. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
End of demo. We are the Global Gym Purple Cobras, and we will rock you.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a perfect show for kids.
Great kids humor. Comedy, family comedy. Yeah.
Then the main actor, I mean, he does a good job of acting, you know, like a dumb teenage kid.
Yeah, he's completely over, super, super dorky, but in a lovable way.
Yeah.
Adam Pally, will give him a shout-out again for his awesome performance of Wade Whipple. And his family, too, his sister, Wanda Whipple, played by Edie Patterson. Great, great performance. She seems like my long-lost sister. She's the only one person I know that has a super, just over-the-top use of the word yo. So she gets super thumbs up in my book.
And of course, give a shout out to Cary Elwes. I mean, he just kills at every role he does, whether he's playing a snobby villain or just playing the secret agent of anybody and the leader of anything. He's just funny and great at everything he does. So.
Yeah, so I'm with you, Paul. I'm giving a definite thumbs up. A great family, great kids comedy. Need to distract the kids for an evening so you can get stuff done around the house. Put on Knuckles, but you'll end up watching it with them because it's actually pretty good.
Yep. Exactly.
I cannot wait for the third one. So if you guys are excited for this show, I can't wait for the third Sonic movie. So, because Shadow's going to be in this one.
All right. Well, you know, Victor, I was going to review something next, but I think I'll give myself a quick little break next. How about we let you go next here? I know I got some notes for you if you want them there with like cast info later on if you want. But I know you said you saw A Blast from the Past, a movie from 2004, a vampire action flick based off a comic book character. And we're not talking about Blade.
No.
Though I think his character's origins, wasn't he a Blade supporting character, or am I off a little bit?
To be fair, he wasn't actually a comic book character at all. He was actually his own character in a movie that you all know back in the 1930s, which was a Dracula movie. He was the great Van Helsing.
Yep, we're talking about Van Helsing. I think I got it down there a couple. We got that classic poster. Played by none other by the Wolverine himself, Hugh Jackman.
Mr. Hugh Jackman. Yes.
Oh, I remember this movie.
Yes. Ah, 2004. I remember seeing this in the theater. I remember being a damn good summer blockbuster. Mm.
It was just paying homage to classic, you know, horror movie.
You can't go wrong with Kate Beckinsale.
Very true. Very true. And she was just as beautiful as she is still in the Underworld movies as she was in this one. And she did incredibly well with the chemistry between her and Mr. Hugh Jackman. Everyone did such a great job in this movie. And man, oh man, like, this paid homage to everything I grew up with, like the Wolfman actually being a Wolfman, and you know, Dracula being the monstrous
tyrant. The final fight scene of this movie was fantastic.
That was so cool. Like, literally all you could just do was just see Dracula beating this huge bat-like monster flying through the air and just getting pissed whenever he, like, these soldiers failed him, and he just throws them out the window. I'm like,
well, then Hugh Jackman turns into like a big badass wolf too. Yeah. I mean, I think that they do way better at this than they did in Underworld.
Well, don't discredit Underworld just yet, because I mean, you don't. I will say this: they did an amazing job in that movie, but Underworld still kills just for the practical effects that they have in that movie. Not to mention the creature effects they did, the blood and gore, and the politics of vampires versus werewolves or lycans, if you want to prefer.
Many layers.
Those are just truly, and what I loved about this movie especially was Frankenstein. Frankenstein was what really sold me on this. They really just, like, they tore this man completely apart. And you could see, like, as, of course, Hugh Jackman is fighting him, like, literally, he smashes his head on a wall, half of his face, like, goes this way, and you just see, like, half a skull, and just his brain is just covered by everything, and he just put it back together and just, like, is just a monstrous dude. But really, he's just a nice guy who just wants to be left alone and, you know, live in a castle somewhere.
So Van Helsing, the vampire action flick, what was your impetus for revisiting this classic film?
I just really love, like, you know, and...
Just to clarify, though, that wasn't Frankenstein.
Yeah, that it was Frankenstein.
No, that was the monster.
Well, the monster itself.
Frankenstein was the scientist.
To be fair, it was called Frankenstein's monster, but the doctor was called Frankenstein, but he named him Frankenstein. So just for clarification.
Potato.
Like I said, if we want to get into specifics, sure we can.
But
I love this movie just because, I mean, I miss
I'm actually thinking I think I might watch this tonight.
Well, is this streaming anywhere? Or did you pull it?
Honestly, you could buy it if you want to. I bought it years ago when I was a kid. My mom wouldn't let me, but my brother and I, we snuck out and bought it anyway. So, I mean, I remember they had actually... at a mall, when the mall was actually relevant, they had like a huge poster and stuff for it, like for DVD release and stuff. You can find it anywhere. You can find it on Tubi. You can find it on
Tubi. That's free.
Yeah, you can find it on Tubi. You can find it on. You can find anywhere if you want to. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it on Hulu if you want to. If you don't want to pay for
three or four of them, man.
Yeah. If you don't want to pay for it, you can actually go to Amazon. You can pick it up right there,
I'm sure you could probably buy it on Amazon for $6.
You don't even have to buy it. Honestly, you can just watch it for free.
Tubi is a free streaming service, so you can watch on your desktop, a website browser, or it's an app on a lot of game consoles too.
Or if you want to, you can just go to Vudu and you can watch it there. So yeah. I mean, everywhere,
all kinds of options.
So, yeah,
cool. Final thoughts on Van Helsing? How does it hold up? Ultimately, all these years later, just as good as you remember, or some parts not so much?
No,
or?
I loved it, and you know, just it was like watching Underworld, except for Underworld was a lot more darker, but this one was just paying homage to the stuff that I grew up with watching, and even the director himself, his dad passed away, and at the end of the movie, you could just he left a message.
Steven
for his
Summers.
Dad. Yep, and he left a message for his dad saying, you know, this, you know, pays tribute to my dad who grew up watching monster movies with me, and so.
And again, Kate Beckinsale looks very good in this movie.
Yes, she does. There is no doubt. There is no doubt that she does. She kicks ass in this as well as Underworld. So, yeah. I mean, I wish she would have been in Blade franchise, but that's a dream all of in itself.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, I remember her from Underworld. Yes. Very, very just drop dead gorgeous. What can you say?
Very much so.
So, love that great blast from the past, Victor. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely all for that. I need to do that a little bit more often. I know every now and then I'll throw one in the quick taste, but maybe one of these days I'll have to throw in a 10, 20, 30-year-old movie in for just like a nice, good, just review treatment there. But kind of shifting the order around a little bit here. Next up, I'm going to talk about... I saw this movie at the theater with my dad yesterday. My guy got a heads up from my dad. He's like, hey, dude, I'm going to be heading out of town for a couple months here in a couple of days. And so I'm like, oh, we should probably catch a movie or something. And so last night we caught The Fall Guy. It's kind of been on my radar, one of the few movies I'm falling behind on seeing that I wanted to make it out to the theaters to see. So the setup for this is Ryan Gosling is kind of like a just at the time, like a couple years ago, just one of the top class stuntman for one of the this movie's fictitious version of Tom Cruise. He's like, it's got like the top stuntman positions in the Hollywood, and then at the beginning of the movie, a stunt goes horribly wrong. He's put on the shelf for like a year and a half, and finally his old agent gets a hold of him and is like, oh, I need you for a job. And then Emily Blunt in that. And then the opening of the movie for the movie that Ryan Gosling is working on, and Ryan Gosling's character is Colt Seavers. That's his name. And so the opening movie he's working on, Emily Blunt's character is just as a camera operator. But a couple years later, she's landed. She finally made it big, got her first directorial movie. The name of the movie in this, the fake movie that she's directing in this film is great. It's named after, well, it's not named after, but it coincidentally shares the same name of a awesome little action platforming NES game, Metal Storm. I don't know if you remember that one, but it's like a space cowboy rock opera, pretty much. Super dumb summer blockbuster. And the way they show like the cinematography for it, when they cut to the movie when they're filming it, is it has so many weird vibes of Dune, where they're like showing the same kind of like opera music, like just like super serious vibes, but like the aliens have all these dorky dumb costumes. But so anyways, Ryan Gosling, his character Colt Seavers, he gets to the Mercy's Shadow saying, hey, she's requested you for work. They need a last-second stuntman. She knows you're the best. And so he decides against his better judgment, you know, all right, I'll give this stuntman thing one last shot, as they say. And so he gets there, and the agent's like, I have an ulterior motive. Turns out we lost the lead actor for the film. We can't find him. You know him better than anyone. You were his stunt double for years and years and years. Retrace his steps, his hotspots. See where he can go and track him down. So we have Ryan Gosling getting up to no good because, you know, this over-the-top actor, his name is Tom Ryder, played by Aaron Taylor Johnson. He's gone out clubbing one too many times, met with so many wrong crowds. And so you have Ryan Gosling's character getting chased by all these mob type characters who are like, oh no, he can't find this big cover up that this Tom Ryder, his actor he's stunt doubling for, that he got mixed up with. So, you know, and this movie is just a big tribute to the love of stunt work. So many big stunts are throughout this movie in the chases. There's a scene where it's ridiculous, where they're chasing down a street, and it's like a construction, kind of like a big tow truck with a big crane on the back. And so Ryan Gosling chases it, and he kind of goes, hitches a ride onto it. And meanwhile, he's got like this little support dog with him alongside too. And the dog is very, very voice trained, and it's like his sidekick. And the two are just teaming up doing these ridiculous stunts where there's so many yeah right moments, but it's a comedy, and you can tell it's just a big old tribute. Homage to stunt work that you just can't help but love the over-the-top nature of it. It's not so over-the-top, but it has enough seriousness to it where it's like, okay, this isn't a satire. It's like a fun action romp comedy. It's directed by David Leitch. He did Deadpool 2 and Bullet Train in recent years, so he's got the serious credentials to pull it off, and he pulled it off here. Great stunt work. There's actually a scene in the movie where they're like, Colt Seavers, we need you to just do a straight up barrel roll with the car. Pretty simple. You'll knock this. And Ryan Gosling's like, I don't want to do a barrel roll. Oh, come on, you're the best at it. And so he pulls off this barrel roll, and like, it looks phenomenal. And then like a couple of the people are going, hey, that was 8.5 barrel rolls. That's fantastic. And at the time, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, that was pretty cool. But I was looking up some behind the scenes stuff after the movie online on I want to say it was Variety or something, but that was actually legit, and it set a Guinness World Record for most barrel rolls by a car in a movie. So yeah, just phenomenal work. And and the way it all wraps up too, there's a big fun dumb final set piece showdown where they're filming like the big final action showpiece shots for this Metal Storm movie. And the way they get everything just deliver, and the way Ryan Gosling's character gets revenge, I won't go into the spoilers there too much, but you know, he finds out what the cover-up is about, and we're like, all right, we'll make it all play out while we film the final shots in the movie. And it, you couldn't ask for it to unfold any better. And yeah, just me and my dad enjoyed it from beginning to end. And yeah, can't give nothing but super duper thumbs up to The Fall Guy. And to be fair,
this movie was actually based on the old series starring the great Lee Majors. It was also called
The Fall Guy. TV show?
It was a TV show, and it lasted for 5 seasons, and it was from the great Lee Majors himself.
So. What was that, like 80s or so? 70s,
that
80s?
That was early to late 80s and 70s. So that was a very great series. I never got to see it myself, but I love Lee Majors as an actor. He is really kick-ass. He was a hard man to work with, but he did his job very precisely, so as the stuntman himself. And it actually had the same name and characters as it did in the show, so...
Awesome. So, yeah, definitely super thumbs up. This is definitely going to be a high candidate, I think, for my end of the year top 10 list. So, yeah, there you go. Fall Guy, now still in theaters. Check it out. We got a lot more show to come here. We're going to be talking about the roast of Tom Brady. Victor's going to have his action figure showcase, some Marvel DC comic news, and I think a couple other little things here, too, or new releases. But before we get there, we got to hear some words from our friends at Redemption Shield.
Have you noticed the ever-alarming 400,000 cell towers that have gone up in the United States alone? How about the electronics that reside in every room of our homes and Wi-Fi that runs 24/7? 5G cell phones are carried in our pockets hours on end. Common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, palpitations, headaches, memory loss, and so much more. Redemption Shield is on the cutting edge of offering products that protect your family from electromagnetic and microwave radiation. Start protecting yourself now. Go to redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded today. Use code GFBS and save 10%. Redemptionshield.com. Have you...
All right, there you go. So, yeah, if you go to gfbestsource.com, scroll down to the bottom of the page, click the link to Redemption Shield, and, yeah, enter the GFBS code. Oh. Save 10% off your purchase. Can't go wrong with that. Victor, we're going to throw it to you next. I know you got a bunch of the latest Marvel DC movie and industry comic news updates.
Well, it's a sad day for us all here because another sad news will be coming up here, which I don't want to be a downer because it's always about fun here at the show. But unfortunately, Mr. Dave Bautista will no longer be playing Drax the Destroyer, unfortunately.
Contract disputes or something, huh?
No, not a contract dispute. As he said, and he quotes, I will bring it up right now.
Gosh, yes.
As he said, for why he's not playing Drax anymore, and he says, and I quote, Guardians director James Gunn, as he said, I crafted the perfect exit for Drax. This coming Marvel movie, I will not be playing it. I feel it will tarnish my character. With Drax going to the very end as a perfect ending for his role in the Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Volume 3 movie, which was wonderful and very sad to watch. But he said, I had a perfect ending for Drax, and it just... wouldn't make sense to bring him back after, you know, years of having him. I just added the perfect ending, and, you know, I want him to, you know, just not go on anymore. So
I agree with him.
Yeah. No, I 1,000% triple agree. I mean, he had a great send-off in the third film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'll miss him. I really wish he'd still come back. But
the last Guardians of the Galaxy was the end of Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. If they want to create another one, they're going to have to bring out a whole new franchise.
Or all new cast. Yeah, or like all new characters.
I mean, you can go with, like, you know, Groot now, because at the very end, you know, the end credits, he's like this monstrous tree now.
To be fair, he was always this monstrous tree. They just never showed him in that way.
Yeah. But I mean, you saw at the very end of the, you know, the end credits where, you know, they're all sitting on it and all of a sudden he gets up and, I mean, he's just like this massive oak, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But then you got the other characters that are now like, you know, Rocket's team.
Mm.
So Quill, Drax,
Gamora, you know, yeah, all of them
they're all done. They're all done. If they're going to continue on, they're going to have to go with Rocket's team now.
I mean, they can just go from the original one.
With, you know, with Comet and...
I mean, they can go from...
Comet or...
Rocket they, Raccoon?
What was the dog?
Cosmo. Yeah, and then there's another dog in Marvel, but that's
Comet is the name of the awesome horse in Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
Yes. Yes,
there's a blast of the past.
They would have to just do a whole new. I mean, they can't bring back what they just ended. I mean, they even had the tribute at the very end of it. I mean, so yeah, it would be stupid to try to bring it back.
Victor, do you think if they were... So a fourth one is confirmed then, right?
Yes, yep. And Mr. Chris Pratt will be returning, of course, as his character, Star-Lord. So we will see him again. But the rest, they have not confirmed their roles anymore. So we may or may not see them again. Maybe tidbits here and there talking about them, but we won't see them probably again. We may see Rocket again in them, but we otherwise won't see the rest of them.
Well, yes, for Rocket and Groot, they got the advantage of being CG characters. So if they could always get a sound-alike to voice them if Bradley Cooper or Vin Diesel do not want to return.
You never know. So, I mean, they may or may not. But for all intents and purposes, they said that they will likely somewhat be returning. But for the rest of it, of course, We have another big and very exciting news because Deadpool and Wolverine are very much coming up very soon, and we are very excited for it. Now, this one, of course, by Mr. Ryan Reynolds, who is filming If, which is his imaginary film, which was directed by, of course, Mr. John Krasinski, Miss Emily Blunt's husband. He will be doing both roles. Both of these movies will be released separate times on their time slot. So we're very excited for both these movies. I know I am. I don't know about you guys, but I'm always ready for Ryan Reynolds because that man is just phenomenal as he is. Of course, the Ninja Turtles will be teaming up with the Power of Grayskull. I always love saying that. And it's really cool because we will be seeing He-Man and the Masters of the Universe teaming up with the Heroes in a Half Shell, of course, to take on the evil Skeletor and the mighty and always scary The Shredder.
Oh, man, that is going to be... Hey, everyone loves team-ups in Hollywood lately. If we remember Transformers from last year, not to give it away, and what their next Transformers film has in store for it. So,
yes, yep. And speaking of more than meets the eye, Transformers, Mr. Chris Hemsworth will be voicing Optimus Prime along with Mr. Brian Tyrese. Alongside, he will be playing Megatron, and this will be coming from their origins before they became the great Autobot leader and the most evil Decepticon leader. They were once worker robots of their time, of course, before they became their respective roles. And this is Transformers 1, and it dropped not so long ago, the trailer did. So I'm very excited to see that they're telling the origin story of them before they became, you know, the great Autobot leader and the great Decepticon leaders.
Oh, man. All kinds of good big comic moving and shaking. You always have it covered. Anything else here before we move on, Victor?
The last one I have, which is really, really exciting, of course, and I got to tell you, Planet of the Apes, which has been one of my favorite franchises since I was a little kid, literally, they're coming back in a huge way, and I cannot tell you how excited I am that, of course, even though Caesar will not be in this one, and they already have told us that he won't be in this one, which is pretty sad because I love Caesar. But, of course, the little girl in the trailer, she will be a big role in this one. And, of course, Mr. Idris Elba will, of course, play the great King of the Apes in this one with his masculine, powerful voice, you know, saying, "What a great day to be alive!" So I'm very excited just to see him conquer the kingdom of the Planet of the Apes as he does.
We'll be touching that on that here a little later on the show and the new releases here. So,
oh, I'm very excited. So
all right. Awesome. Thank you, Victor. I'm going to continue to switch up this our review order this time just for fun and giggles. I'm trying to pace everyone's to get a good rotation here going here. I was like, oh, wait a second. I think this could work a little better here. So, Paul, I'm going to throw it to you next. I wanted to see more of this. I only saw the first, like, 5 minutes, but I did read some awesome excerpts. I wish I had time to see the whole thing. So I'm very, you got me intrigued here. Your take for the Netflix Live special that was last weekend, the roast of Tom Brady, the six-time winning Super Bowl quarterback for the New England Patriots and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So Netflix is dabbling more and more in these kind of offshoot sports live specials. They did a big tennis Grand Slam exhibition with Rafael Nadal and Carlos Alcaraz. They also did a couple other fancy live sports specials, and now they're doing they're bringing back the roast. Comedy Central was acclaimed for their many, many roasts over the years, but they kind of fell off the last several years. Really hasn't been that many. Netflix did one roast before with the Jonas Brothers, I want to say like a year or two ago, but it was a bit more tamer because, you know, of that demographic of their fan base. So, but here, from what I understand in the reviews, this was more no holds barred.
Well, and they got a lot of controversy with the Jonas Brothers. So
Right. Paul, was this pretty explicit, pretty R-rated?
Yes. Yes, it was. And it was hilarious. It was like 3 hours long, though. But
yeah, Nikki, it was 3 hours, yeah.
Nikki Glaser had like one of the best skits you will ever see.
I love her. She's so funny.
Ben Affleck made an appearance. I think that he was really coked out of his mind.
Oh, gosh.
Like, he looked he was in really rough shape.
Oh, no.
I mean, but honestly, you know, they did a lot of jokes on Giselle, you know, and their divorce and everything. But the person that actually I think got roasted the most was Gronkowski.
Oh, I mean, how could you not? If the other roasters are up there, usually the roasters will roast on the other roasters, and it'd be almost a crime not to roast on Gronk.
Yeah, I know, but Gronk was like, he was like a part of like every single joke.
Did he take it well? Did he take it in stride?
Yeah, he got all messed. Like, he got effed up. Like,
oh, no.
You could tell he got up there and he was supposed to roast Tom Brady, and I think he was just shit-faced.
that's part of the joy of, like, the live nature of these specials.
Yeah, and he went off script, and even Kevin Hart was like, all right, Gronk, you need to get down now.
Kevin Hart was a host, right?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but, I mean, this was funny. There were some parts that were, you know, a little bit stupid. Like Randy Moss's, his wasn't that great. But
I did
Kim
like
Kardashian.
I did see the
Why is Kim Kardashian in here?
Because she dated him.
Yeah, for like a second.
Hey, still, you? If you need a roll call of 30 roasters, anyone matters. Yeah. I did see the opening bit. I did like the opening bit was a nice reference to just Drew Bledsoe getting just screwed over by Tom Brady again. Bill Belichick being like, nope, Tom Brady's turn to get roasted. Drew, you're out of here.
Yeah, Bill, and they gave a lot of shit to Bill Belichick. And everybody was really surprised that he actually even showed up.
Yeah, because he's very, very just straight-faced, very, very... doesn't even really do humor at all. So to see him appear on this was just like... no one would have guessed it. I'm guessing it must have been a big favor to Tom.
Yep. Yeah, it must have been. And Tom did, I mean, he did a really good job of, you know, at the end doing his roast on everybody else. But, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously don't have the kids in the room.
Yeah.
But, if you're looking for a good laugh, it was funny. I thought it was funny as hell. Not like Cat Williams, the other one I'll talk about later. But, yeah. There's a lot of things in there that you wouldn't expect to have happened. And
who gave the best roast, you'd say, overall?
Nikki Glaser.
Yeah. Nikki Glaser, I was going to say.
Yeah, without a doubt. The other one that I thought was really good, but I don't know his name.
I do got all the names on there for roasters.
Which guy?
Do you see him on there? See, we got Gronkowski there, got Brady.
No, I don't see him on there. Mm-hmm.
Not everyone.
He was sitting with Dana White, and he even made a joke at Dana White. He was like, "Dana White has put more Mexican in cages than the Border Patrol."
Wow!
Jesus Christ!
Oof-da.
Jesus Christ!
Oh gosh! Wow! So there you go. Check it out, The Roast of Tom Brady, streaming on Netflix. I will definitely think I'll be picking away at this week.
Even if you're just looking, I mean, you just. Even just YouTube Nikki Glaser's,
she's so little, funny, dude.
Her little bit on there, and just watch that, and you'll crack up.
She is literally the queen of roasts. Like, she has been on tons of comedy roasts, and I can understand why.
Awesome. All right, we'll keep things moving along here. Next up, I'm going to talk about another Netflix streaming movie. Well, not a special, but a movie in the form of Unfrosted. That's what it's called. It just launched on Netflix this past week. And this is actually Jerry Seinfeld's directorial debut. And he's also the lead in this film, and he wrote the script. So he's kind of just wearing a zillion hats for this project. And the premise for this film is interesting. In 1963 Michigan, business rivals Kellogg's and Post compete to create a cake that could change breakfast forever. So this is the satirical origin story of the Pop-Tart. That's what this film is all about. It's not a one-for-one recreation. There's a lot of just...
It looks stupid as hell.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much, if you're not a fan of Seinfeld and his style of dry humor...
It's a show about nothing.
Yeah. It's about the origin of the Pop-Tart. A lot of breakfast references, a lot of callbacks, dry humor that Seinfeld is notorious for. I love it. I'm a big fan of it. Seinfeld show was popular for a reason, but, you know, again, it's also very polarizing because that style of humor is not for everybody.
True.
It is for me. I know some people like dry humor more in just like small doses sprinkled in. I like that style too.
Cause I mean like, and I think it's funny that you say that, Paul, cause I know you're a big fan of dry humor.
Oh yeah. I love dry humor, but I saw the preview for this and I was like, this just looks dumb as hell.
So yeah, Seinfeld is one of the top executives at Kellogg's, and it takes place in Battle Creek, Michigan, where Post's and Kellogg's headquarters are literally within eyesight of each other. And, they kind of have this dumb, silly, they call it the Bowl and Spoons, the trade award show for the cereal awards. And Kellogg's is a sweeping house. They're on top of the world in the breakfast cereal market. But the Post, they're kind of teasing the Kellogg's crew that they got something big coming, and Post is headed up by Amy Schumer. She heads up one of the top executives for Post.
That's a turnoff right there for me.
Yeah.
I can't stand that slug.
I think I only liked her in one thing before. I'll say Trainwreck, she was all right. But
Trainwreck was probably the only great thing about her. The rest were
If she's like the villain, she's very unlikable.
She's a villain in here. She does bad things. She's
so
staying in her lane. I actually thought she was pretty solid in this film. So she's kind of teasing Seinfeld, like, oh, we're going to get you. And then Seinfeld gets clued into what Post is up to. They got these adorable little kids that are dumpster diving in the Post dumpster, saying, oh, you got to check out what Post is working on. Try this toaster pastry. And Seinfeld's like, we got to get in on this. And so it's all a competition to them. Post and Kellogg's fine-tuning the recipe to get toaster pastries just right and beat each other to market. There's an interesting subplot to all this. Do you think, what kind of other breakfast item would not like the invention of a toaster pastry?
Oh, pretty much everyone. Kellogg's. What was it?
No, don't think main item. Think side item.
Side item?
What's the vital part of cereal?
I mean,
milk?
Yes. So there is the evil milkmen gang, a mob, suffice it to say, headed up by Christian Slater. Christian Slater just runs with this role as the leader of this milkman racket that are like, we know what you're up to. You're trying to eliminate milk from an American breakfast, and we will not be denied. So he's constantly torturing.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, he's kind of... there's like all these sneak little torture scenes. Hilarious. And then there's a big mascot strike also leading up to it. They want a piece of... They think they're getting the shaft too, because you got these people playing the Snap, Crackle, Pop mascots at like local supermarket
Tony
openings.
The Tiger.
There's a Tony the Tiger.
I mean, they did a ding on that Family Guy where he's like, follow your nose. Follow your nose.
They have their reason in the movie for how they invented they're great. And there's a lot of like I didn't even bother to look up to see if it was credible or not, because I'm like, all right, this is satire, I'm just gonna enjoy it, go along for the ride. And actually, for satire movies, sometimes it can be too hard for me to actually legitimately enjoy a lot of satires. It all depends on your sense of humor. It's all subjective, but for me, the jokes here land way more often than they miss. And at first, the way it was opening, and I even saw the trailer for it on Netflix, I'm like, this looks dumb. But the way like they get the mascots involved in this mascot strike, you get Snap, Crackle, and Pop trying to boycott Kellogg's and try and go on strike, along with all these other mascots. And it's all leading up to like and then there's two, like Kellogg's and Post are trying to one up each other by getting evil Soviet Union sugar imported. So all these interesting little twists and turns that
is it worth watching?
Yeah, it's under an hour and a half long. And
Bill Burr is JFK.
And I was like, at first,
I saw that too.
Yeah. JFK is he's.
Oh, so this is a movie? I thought it was a series.
No, it's just a movie. Under 90 minutes. I originally started. I'm going to start watching this at like 1.25 speed and see if I can get through it in an hour. But I think within like 15, 20 minutes, I'm like, no, I got to put this at normal speed. This is actually kind of fun. And if you just want like a nice good palate cleanser, it's something you get in and out of in under an hour and a half. I'm definitely giving this a recommendation. I won't say it won't blow your socks off, but this is actually way better than it had any right to be, and lots of good cameos throughout. This is like a murderer's row of comics. We're talking about all the comics in the Roast of Tom Brady. I don't want to give away all the cameos in here. A lot of small supporting roles that you may see. I got a lot of them listed in the cast here too, but there's like a big
what's the rating on this? Is this something
PG-13? PG-13. Seinfeld's always kind of been family friendly, a little dirty, but not explicitly dirty, but more hinted, more implied than just in your face dirty. Definitely I think you could watch this with the kids, and Seinfeld will slip in the jokes for mom and dad there, but you kind of got to be paying attention for them. A lot of it's always cool to see who will pop up next. Oh, there's this comic and there's that comic. So yeah, it's called Unfrosted and it's streaming on Netflix. Definitely giving this a recommendation. Again, we'll say it won't blow you away, but it's actually doesn't overstay its welcome. Nice, quick, dumb comedy fun. So there you go.
I'm still surprised that they let Amy Schumer in movies, but then again, I wouldn't be also surprised about that. So,
all right, well, that was our final review. We got a couple more of our regular segments to close off the show with here, but before we do, we got to hear one last word from talking about CNH Insurance, where they began with the goal of building an agency with the highest of principles, personalized attention, and service. They strive to give everyone who walks through their door special attention and the best customer service possible. It's a priority. Their agents have over 50 years of combined insurance experience, and they're licensed in three states, North Dakota, Minnesota, and Arizona, for all of the snowbirds up here that like to escape our trademark winters. So for all your insurance needs, go ahead and contact Justin, Jody, or Tammy. Their phone number is 218-773-0287, or stop by their business office. They're located at 1427 Central Avenue, Northwest in East Grand Forks. Hey, we here at GFBS, we insure through CNH Insurance. Maybe you should too. Go ahead and check them out. That's CNH Insurance in East Grand Forks. All right, Victor, it's time. I'm going to give you the big old drum roll. It's time for Victor's Action Figure Showcase.
Well, I was very excited just because I had been working on this for quite some time. And to celebrate, of course, my main man, the Dark Knight himself, of course, I created this. This custom Batman return, Dark Knight Returns Batman. I was very excited to create it. I literally did all the paintwork and everything. And, I mean, the body did pretty much, the art was there. I just added it to the art, and it was just very fun to do this. To do another one of these was just amazingly fun. Now, the second one I brought in here many years ago, it was very much fun to just do the original symbol on this one, and the dark, the black version of his suit was really fun to do. So, but that is also
this is a custom work then.
Yep, this is a custom work. All was done by me, and it was very fun to do this guy, so I'm very happy to.
What show is this one based off or inspired off of, would you
this
say?
This is from The Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, yeah, great, great. Animated feature DC movie
and great graphic novel, and
yes,
of course,
tremendous graphic novel. I got the graphic novel that came with the Blu-ray, so yeah, great stuff.
And of course,
hey!
I gotta, you know, I know Dale will love this. I gotta pay tribute to, of course, the man who says the guilty will be punished.
Oh my gosh!
And of course, the Punisher right there is right
awesome
here for the
Punisher
taking.
Motorcycle. Oh
I didn't
my
get
God.
A chance
looks
to
like
open
a fat
it.
Bob.
Well, I didn't get a chance to, you know, get it to him, but of course, you know, I was very, very happy to get this guy, so I was very happy.
A Fat Bob is a Harley.
Yes. Oh, okay.
A Fat Bob is a Harley.
Well, I'm not a motorcycle connoisseur, so thank you for the knowledge.
Funny thing, too, I learned that from Sons of Anarchy, which is very funny, so that the fact that, of course, he said that was very funny.
Oh, great stuff. Love that. Good thumbs up there. Victor, I think this is your best action showcase ever.
Well, thank you, but like I said, this is just only a taste of the preview of what you'll see. Like I said, there will be more to come, and this one will be a long time waiting for you guys. Now, give me a while, and I'll get the rest to you, but just like I said, I'm going to show you guys something very extremely special that I've been wanting to show you guys on this show for years and years and years.
Big time action figure showcase 2 weeks from now.
Oh, trust me. Just give me a while. Like I said, I'm going to have to put you in suspense for
a
while.
Maybe
a
couple episodes out. We shall see.
Just give me a smile, and let me tell you, you'll be surprised.
Just so you know, like so that motorcycle, like I'm pretty sure that's a Harley Davidson Fat Bob. That would be, I'm almost positive, the same motorcycle that Captain America used in the movies when he was like tearing through the woods and everything.
Oh, in the Marvel films.
You know,
he
has the shield on the front of it.
Right.
Yep. Same motorcycle.
I remember seeing a Captain, a motorcycle, tricked out motorcycle in town here over the years a couple of times. And they have like the Captain America shield like planted in front of it. I don't know. Maybe you guys have
seen
that too?
Seen it. Yeah,
I've seen it a little bit.
Yeah.
Of it, yeah.
I was like, oh, that's. There's a part of me that's like, that's so lame. Another part of me, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. No, it's lame. Oh, I love it. Victor, great stuff, man. You got me curious what you got in store for us on future installments here.
Just have to wait a little while, but yeah, like I said, it'll be worth it.
Okay, gonna move things along here. Noteworthy theatrical streaming new releases coming up here. So for new streaming movies and shows from last weekend and this coming week, we got, well, we already talked about Knuckles. We already talked about Unfrosted. Knuckles is streaming on Paramount Plus. Unfrosted is streaming on Netflix. And The Roast of Tom Brady, we also talked about. That's streaming on Netflix. Three other ones I want to give you a quick mention for. We have Thank You, Goodnight. That is a streaming four-part docuseries on Hulu. It's an all-access docuseries chronicling the epic 40-year past and uncertain future of the iconic band Bon Jovi.
Yo.
Next up is Them, The Scare, Season 2, streaming on Amazon Prime Video. It's a horror anthology, with this season featuring Deborah Aaron, I'm sorry. Victor, you know this one. I cannot pronounce this. Arianide? I'm probably butchering that. Sorry.
You got it right. It's a weird name to pronounce, but you got it right in the sense that
she plays a police detective named Don Reeve, whose latest investigation starts to consume her. So, yeah, them the Scare Season 2 streaming on Prime Video. Then finally, we have Hacks Season 3 streaming on HBO Max, and it's where Jean Smart returns as the comedy legend Deborah Vance as she tries to reach new heights, landing a late night TV show hosting gig. So those are the noteworthy streaming releases. Notable theatrical releases. Well, I already talked about Fall Guy that hit theaters last weekend. Still playing, and Victor, you kind of alluded to it a little earlier in your comic news recap there. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes, what opening, a great day.
Opening tonight, it's the fourth film in the latest Apes series, where it's many years after the reign of Caesar, a young ape goes on a journey that will lead him to question everything he's been taught about the past and make choices that will define a future for apes and humans alike. Mm. So, Victor, I think I know what your pick of the week is.
Oh, hell yeah. Planet of the Apes, boy. Yeah. I love Planet of the Apes.
There you go. I saw the first two of this latest batch of Planet of the Apes films, and I enjoyed them, but I guess I didn't really feel compelled to see the third one. I was like, after the second one, I was like, you know, I think I've had my fill. This is good. I didn't. The third one, would you say, is just as good as the other two, or is it? Are they kind of like, yeah, they need to mix things up a little bit?
Honestly, you need to see the other ones. The other one wasn't as long as I wanted to be, but see it. I would see it.
Paul, have you kept up with this latest batch of Planet of the Kingdom, War of the Battle?
I've seen all the Planet of the Apes. Yeah. Yeah, I look for. I don't know if I'll see this one in the theater, but I'll definitely watch it when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, right on. Yep. Okay, so we are going to mix things up next here with some GFBS plugs. We're going to be talking about some other shows coming up on GFBS this week. Make sure to check out this week's GFBS interviews with City Council Ward 3 candidates Trisha Berg and Marie Stewart to find out all about their campaigns and the upcoming June 11th election. Earlier today on River City Speedway Presents Dirty Thursday, they had on guests Greenbush Race Park announcer Keith Cumming and Street and Pure Stock driver Terry Blacklance to share their many memories and stories from Greenbush Race Park. You know, Greenbush is kind of on hiatus this season, so they're just kind of in here to talk shop and just kind of be like, you know, not like a farewell, but they kind of want to make sure to keep the people talking about Greenbush Race Park to hopefully maybe have it back in action for next season. Finally, tune in to an all-new Icky Ichabod's Weird Cinema tomorrow night at 9 p.m., where he will be reviewing the James Bond satire film Austin Powers in Gold Member.
Groovy, baby. Yeah, I love Mike Myers, dude. He's so kick-ass.
Icky has his takes on Austin Powers. So those are just a few of over a dozen shows we do every week. You can find them by searching GFBS on your favorite podcast or social media apps. All right, guys, time to wrap up the show with our final segment, Quick Takes. So what else have you been watching or else you've been up to or got going on big weekend plans? Want to hear what you guys have to say. Paul, we'll kick things off with you.
All right. Well, going to, like I said, with the comedy thing after. So I watched this one before the roast of Tom Brady, but I watched Cat Williams' Woke Folk, which I thought was garbage fire, honestly. I mean, I'm not like Cat Williams is I think he's a mediocre comedian, but he was just like annoying in this, like with his high pitched voice and everything that he was doing. He had some good points that he made, but for the most part, as far as a stand-up comedy show, I thought that this, like, totally fell off the mark. And, you know, I don't know what his objective was towards the end with his closing monologue, but, yeah, I mean, you know, it didn't hit with me. I thought it was not a good stand-up comedy show. And, you know, they were waiting to release it. They promoted it and everything. There were some, like I said, there were some good parts in it, but for the most of it, I would just say he kind of failed on most levels.
Oh, shoot.
To be fair, and his comedy is not for everybody. I wouldn't necessarily say it was directed more towards you, Paul, just because, like, he's been known. Not, he's not a mediocre comedian. He's more just, like, for black audiences, and a lot of people have been dissing him a lot because he has, and he continues to open up a wide, like, the gates of hell, literally, with P. Diddy and everything with controversy. So he may not be liked by a lot of people, and you may not see his promotional, like, comedy, like, what Paul said with woke folk, it hasn't been really big on release just because he's talked a lot of shit about a lot of people. And you know how people get, you know, really skirmish about, yeah.
He's picking a lot of fires.
Yeah, and you know how people don't like to be burned bridges? Well, he burned bridges and he spit and pissed on this bridge to the point where it was just demolished. So you may not hear from him. And wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you may not hear from him if you know what I'm saying. So.
Honestly, I mean, the thing that I think is going to get the most blowback is the roast of Tom Brady, because, man, did they make a lot of tranny and gay jokes.
I saw some of the quotes
They kind of asked for that. I'm sorry. Yeah. You kind of asked for that.
Yeah, I saw some quotes from that, and I was like, oh, well, this person is X and this person is Y, so maybe they can get away with it, or maybe they can't. I don't know.
I think they're all just so rich they don't care. But, another one, too, that I kind of want to watch because it gives me the impression that it's going to be like, what is it? What's the one with Glass and...
Oh, you mean M. Night Shyamalan?
Yeah. What's the other one that they made, though?
There was
Knock at the Cabin last year.
No, it was the Glass, and then there was
Unbreakable?
Unbreakable.
There's Unbreakable, and then...
So it gives me the impression that it's going to be a lot like Unbreakable. But what was it?
Glass. It Split. That was another one.
Yeah, was the last one.
So this movie that's coming out, and now you can purchase it to stream. And I think it's going to be like more of like a lesbian love story, but Love Lies Bleeding.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Actually, it's very good.
That's coming out soon.
Did you actually see the whole movie?
Yes, I did. I actually watched it. It was A24. Shout out to them because they kick ass. I did love that movie just because Ed Helms did. Like, or not Helms, Helms.
Does it give you the Unbreakable kind of?
Not
like, because it looked like it had like an ending that was going to be like Unbreakable. Don't ruin it for me.
First of all, we don't ruin movies here. And secondly, no, it is... Not so much like that. You'll be surprised of what you'll see. You may or may not like it. Because
the previews make it looks like she turns like into the Incredible Hulk at the end.
Oh, Paul! All I can say for you is
Victor
this:
Victor is biting his tongue here.
You'll
is it worth? Okay, just is it worth watching?
I would say give it a chance. I know you're
like
not...
Give it a chance is give it like a half hour at least.
I will say just give it a chance because there's a lot of great performances in here, and these young actors, though.
Yeah,
because
it's like Mary Jane from Spider-Man is like this bodybuilder, I think.
She's not Mary Jane, but she's an unknown actress, and she's very good. She's actually a bodybuilder, weirdly enough. And
no, she looks just like the
Zendaya?
Zendaya? Nothing like Zendaya. She looks nothing.
Are you kidding me?
That does not look like Zendaya. I think you got your wires mixed up on that one.
How does that not look like Zendaya?
That does not look at all looks like Zendaya. Yeah, that does not look like anything like Zendaya. I'm sorry.
That looks exactly like her.
Not
oh my god,
close.
I'm gonna look this up because I think it is her.
Go ahead, but you'd be wrong. I'm sorry.
Well, Paul looks that up. I will jump in with my quick takes here. So, Star Trek Discovery, and keeping up the latest with that. They have a new episode dropping tonight. But actually, the last episode was a very interesting twist on their version of what a marathon foot race is, and they got to mix in all kinds of sci-fi hijinks in there for all these little caveats so they could get this latest answer in this treasure hunt they're going in on this episodic, their final season. Also, Keeping Up with the Conners and Drive to Survive. I finally started that after finishing the Netflix's Indy 500 docuseries, but Drive to Survive is their docuseries on the world of F1. Heard nothing but good things about it. It's in this, like, fifth season, I believe, already. So, but I'm about halfway through the first season, and yeah, if you watched Drive to Survive or the Road to Indy or 100 Days to Indy or NASCAR Full Speed off of Netflix, it's just like that documentary series on a season of motorsport in the world of F1. And I saw the documentary Senna. Just speaking of F1, I heard it was nothing but one of the best motorsport feature film length documentaries out there. It's all about the career, life and career of Ayrton Senna, one of the legendary F1 drivers, and his life and career, and why he's so well revered all these years later. I give that a super high recommendation as well, so go ahead and check that out. And speaking of racing kicks off this season in town in Grand Forks and Devil's Lake. Their season openers are this weekend, and yeah, gonna
it's
be
no longer raining anymore.
Yes. That girl played Gentora in the Ant-Man, the latest Ant-Man movie.
the girl that you're talking about in Love Lies Bleeds?
Yeah, she plays like that Amazon chick in Ant-Man.
The newest Ant-Man movie?
Yeah, in the Quantum Mania or whatever. Yeah, that's why she looked familiar. Anyway.
They all blend together.
No, we're just goofing.
Paul, any other quick takes?
Nope.
Victor?
I have been on a monster kick very much recently. And if we're being fair, because we joke around it here, Frankenstein is the name of the monster because when his father, who is Frankenstein himself, he died, he took on his name, and that's why he's named Frankenstein, because he took on his father's name.
Victor's so planting that flag.
I had to, because I love the book. I love the monster movies, man, and I love it. But of course, I got to tell you, because... American Werewolf in London, the great Mr. John Landis, who has been the king of comedy movies like Animal House, and he directed one of the greatest werewolf movies ever made. That's right, I'm talking about American Werewolf in London. Don't pay attention to the sequel, although the sequel is awesome because, you know, it had a great soundtrack. But his son is going to direct the remake of that, which I'm very excited about because even though it shouldn't be a remake, his son has never directed a movie in his life. I trust Mr. John Landis's, you know, son. So at least, hopefully, he can do the same version. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm also very excited. I want to see Abigail.
Yeah, that looks good.
Because honestly, like, the only thing I will say is that if they're gonna do a vampire movie, please don't put monster teeth on vampires. Put the fangs on them. Fangs are awesome, and they make them more scarier than that. And funny too, because I was wanted to bring this up. And during the show, the king that, of course, Mr. Paul talked about in Lord of the Rings, he is the same man who played in Underworld as the father of the two Lycan and Boris the Vampire of Underworld Evolution, respectively. So that they all just come together, man. I love that Hollywood just comes together on that. So that's really cool. But I'm very excited to watch Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. The third one I was very excited about just because when I saw it in theaters, Caesar taking on Woody Harrelson, literally, and just seeing their eyes lock with each other and say, "No, I'm coming for you." And he just like goes at him and beats the living shit out of Woody Harrelson. Like, that was so cool. I love all the Planet of the Apes, so I'm just watching all the Planet of the Apes just to get ready for this one. So that's what I've been watching, monster movies, man. And Planet of the Apes.
Taking it all in.
Just getting my primal on, man. You know, you got to give it up for monsters.
Kind of like, you know, no, May's going to be primal month.
Oh, yeah, man, because it's just like animal.
Speaking of, though. Your shirt.
Yes, absolutely. Shout out to, of course, Steven Spielberg and the team of Stan Winston, God rest his soul, for Jurassic Park, you know. I honestly want to play the theme song, but we can't because John Williams would probably sue us.
We love how you guys love us, but we don't.
Yes.
Lawsuit.
We can't because John Williams
would sue us. It is one of the most iconic scores in Hollywood.
Literally. If you want an iconic movie score, you go to John Williams, and literally, he does not only E.T., he did Indiana Jones, all the Indiana Jones movies, and of course, he did Jaws. So, I mean, that man is just...
One of the
golden.
Best.
Oh, and he also did Star Wars. Yeah. So just another one on his resume.
A murderer's row of credits right there.
Literally.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, I think with that, we'll wrap it up unless you guys got anything else.
No, I'm just excited for this movie season, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. The hits keep getting... You know, until a couple days ago, I was like, I don't really get... Other than Knuckles, I don't think I got too much to talk about. But all of a sudden, happened to see Unfrosted. Glad I did. Things just fell into place where I was able to make it to see The Fall Guy. I was super happy that worked out good. Saw a couple of really good films that I thought were just going to be okay, but just completely knocked my socks off. So, yeah, I think we got a good season ahead of us. I'm right with you. So, with that, we want to give many thanks again to today's sponsors, CNH Insurance, the River Cinema 15, and the Shire Bar and Grill, and Redemption Shield. We welcome you to join us live for all future episodes. So we had a new person joining us in the chat, Anuk. Welcome. Thank you for joining us on your show, having us part of your day. We're live every other Thursday at 1 p.m. You can find all past episodes by subscribing to GFBS everywhere you find podcasts. And as mentioned earlier, make sure to like, share, and follow all of our shows. Many thanks for having us part of your day. Many thanks to Victor.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure to be here. And remember, don't forget to tune in because, man, it's going to be crazy this summer. Yeah. So remember, beat your chest and just get ready for a good old-fashioned primal day. Yes. And remember, don't forget to go to the movies and check out other shows on the family channel, which is GFBS. Remember, yes. We need you. We want you to watch us.
There we go. Well said. Many thanks to Seek and Destroy, producer Paul.
Hell yeah.
We'll see you all in 2 weeks with more takes on the latest theatrical and streaming blockbusters during this blockbuster summer season. Until then, have a great rest of your weekend. Goodbye.
See ya.